say, but here's like my dilemma, dude. This is what I fucking hate about fitness and influencers and YouTube and Instagram and all that. It's like, bottom line is there are many ways to skin a cat. Many ways. Now, if you want a big chest, the caloric surplus, and then progressive overload on your chest muscles will work for sure. But then there are a lot of different exercises that'll help. And depending on like the person, the shoulder mobility, prior injuries, their experience to exercise, like all these things need to be taken into account on which is the way to get there. There's a lot of ways to do it. There's not just one way that's going to do it, but people tend to think that this guy's way is the only way and this is going to take me to the promised land. And it's just, I don't think that's true.
So why do people say that there's, like, why do we flock to the bodybuilding method to look a certain way when if you look at all across sports and fitness, lots of people are jacked and ripped that don't lift weights ever. Like, there's a lot of MMA fighters that are jacked and ripped and they don't lift weights.
Well, professional athletes are on another level because they're training multiple times a day for longer periods of time. They have all kinds of resources to their disposal. I mean, they have all kinds of food, chefs preparing their stuff. They get their blood work done. They're on all kinds of supplements to the T, right? Like, professional athletes, a little bit different. But the everyday person, to go back to that first question, why do people think that bodybuilding style is the way to the fitness promised land? It's just because that's what people know. That's what's in our face. People go to the gym. You know, if you talk about like the 70s and the 80s and, you know, Arnold's big movement in bodybuilding, Mr. Olympia, like people look to that as their gold standard of how to get physically healthy. And I feel like that's what, you know, big market gyms in the 90s and the 2000s kind of push towards, the way they set up their gyms, the big cardio equipment, the big machines type weight training equipment. This is just what we know. And it's not to say that it's not helpful and it's not beneficial, because I think it is. It's just not the only way to go about health and wealth and wisdom. I feel like there are so many more factors that pertain to somebody's long-term health, longevity, and performance versus just on like how good they look, right? Because you can look ripped, you can have abs, you can have big chest and back, but at the same time, like, are you okay inside? Are you happy? Do you have energy? Are you in a good mood? Are you all over the place? Like, even the healthiest of healthy people go into those dark places mentally. Like, I think that's just part of being human. But how often are you there? How often are you happy? How often are you in a creative mode? How often are you in at peace, right? I'm not sure that a fit, healthy body or just like a muscular body always relates to peaceful mind. I just think human beings are super individual, and there's a lot of ways that you can be healthy. And there's a lot of ways that you could get there. And I'm not sure which one is right. I don't know that there's one right way. I think there's a lot of right ways.
You tend to relate fitness to not just the physical outcome of your training.
Mental, emotional, and spiritual on top of the physical. I think it's all connected.
So why is it all connected? And how do you optimize your mental through your physical training?
Okay, great question. Well, I think like we have mechanical components to our body, the way we move our extremities, and then we have electrical components to our body and our mind, like our thoughts. They're purely electrical. We have these thoughts. We have desires that are innate in us. We all have desires. We all feel emotions. We're all subconsciously looking to be loved. And these emotions get stored in our muscle tissue. They get stored in our organ tissue. And by moving these extremities and moving your muscle tissue, you are ultimately freeing up energy. If you're conscious of what you're moving, if you're conscious of how you're feeling, you're also allowing those energies to move through your body. And when you're doing that, you make room for other thoughts, other ideas, different types of creative endeavors. You may be getting clear on what you actually are feeling and where the foundation of that emotion is coming from. By getting quiet with yourself and listening to what's coming up, you can get a deeper understanding of what you're all about. And I think if you're neglecting that, you're neglecting a big piece to your physical, mental, emotional, physical wellness, your longevity, your performance. If you're not in touch with that, a big part of you is missing. And I think by physical exercise, depending on the different kinds of exercises for the different individuals that are out there, and depending on where they start and where they're at in their current life, there's a lot of things that you can do physically that allow you to get clear on what's happening inside. And there's a lot of things that you can do on the yin side of things, the more peaceful side of things too, that can also get you clear about what's happening inside. So I hope that answers your question. I think that there's a lot of relationships between your mental and emotional body and how it just ties into your physical. Like, emotion gets stored in your tissues. Our issues are in our tissues. Bottom line.
The way I just thought of a good metaphor while you were saying that is like, if like the human body is like a radio,
yeah,
with antennas.
Yep.
And it's constantly
receiving information. Yeah. Yep.
And like, if there's a problem with the mechanics of your radio, it's not going to receive information properly. Exactly. Or maybe at all. Like, it's going to.
Exactly. So how can you tune into your purest form if there's a piece of your antenna that's off? So like, if your nervous system is in fight or flight state, there's no way that you can be creative. You cannot come up with ideas if metaphorically a bear is chasing you. In today's day and age, bears aren't chasing us. It's our shitty bosses. It's financial distress. It's being at a shitty job all day. It's, you know, different types of issues that society tells us that we have to do that we may not be wanting to do. Like, why should a kid go to four-year school if they're not feeling called to four-year school? We've talked about this several times when we were working together a few years back. Should I take a gap year? Should I keep going with my career? Why should you go to a four-year school if that's not the work that you're looking to do? So that type of pressure, generational pressure of going to this school and doing this type of job and keeping up with the Joneses, are those metaphorical bears chasing us that we're trying to keep up with, that we're constantly trying to just make our parents proud and make society proud, when we're not even asking what's going to make us proud? What's the life that I want to live, and how am I going to go about like attaining that? You know, so like, there's no way you get creative when you're in fight or flight. You got to understand these types of things, get yourself as calm and relaxed as possible. And that type of stuff takes work. That's why we do flow training. That's why we meditate, to get ourselves grounded, to get ourselves calm and relaxed. So like, there's no way you can be in fight or flight and like get to your purest version of what you are. There's no way you can tune in to the unified field that quantum physics says that we're ultimately connected to all the time. There's no way that you can get to the purest form of yourself and self-actualize if you're in chronic fight or flight. In fact, you will overexpend all your resources energetically, physically, if you're constantly worrying, if you're constantly jealous, if you're constantly feeling guilty or shameful. We have to get to the root of why we're feeling those feelings, to neutralize them, and then to move past them and to connect to what our ultimate potential is.
So that's what fitness means to you. Yeah. It's more than just, you know, how your resting heart rate and how your body fat percentage and how much muscle you have and how much you can lift. It's like, it's like tuning your system.
Into the cosmos. Like, I think about this all the time, because I wake up at the same time every day. I'm on my morning routine. I do a little bit of meditation. I get my water in, you know, maybe I'll do some writing. I'll come to work. I'll train my people. This is religion to me, right? Like, people ask you, like, what God do you subscribe to, or what type of religion do you follow? But then, like, why do you follow this religion? Why do you subscribe to some God? Why this? Why that? For me, God is unconditional love. And I get love by the people I interact with, the skill set, the God-given abilities that I have that I can relate to with people, the message that I'm trying to talk about when it comes to exercise, health, longevity, performance. This is the stuff that gets me going, and I could use my skills to relay this message. This is the loving force that's driving through me, that I can use my skills and my things to my nature so that I can ultimately help people like you and people that come through this gym. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, that's the God that's pushing through me, right? And through my rituals, my meditation, my fasting, my journaling, my exercise, flow training, hot cold therapy, you name it, my sleep schedule. This is attuning me to what the universe is trying to push through me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in that regard, it's like a religion to me. Every single day, I'm doing the same rituals. Also, like if you look at like the power of prayer, I don't like to use the word prayer a ton, but it's the same to me as positive affirmations. Talking things into existence, talking positively about what you are doing and the future self that you see yourself kind of playing out. And that's what it seems to me like when people follow religion and God and talk about, you know, a higher power or being spiritual. I just feel like it's consistency, following your heart and soul and utilizing your God-given abilities and how to and whatever that is, and share that with the world, whatever that is. And this is what we're trying to do. What we've been trying to do is clear our message, get clear on what we're trying to say. How do we help people? How do we influence people? How do we take our God-given abilities and skill sets, package it tightly into this world that we live in? And now it's the digital age. It's Instagram. It's the TikTok. It's the YouTubes. How do we package it nicely so that it can get out to the masses, so that we could actually have a positive influence on people? And that's what I'm trying to figure out in this life, you know?
Yeah. We were just talking about earlier how your mentality about fitness is like very much how you fine tune the body, mm-hmm. and give the body what it needs to receive mm-hmm. stimuli and information from mm-hmm. the world.
Purest thoughts, purest pieces of information from the cosmos or right. the unified field.
And like the whole idea, like if I have to like sit down and create a beautiful video, it's way harder to do it if I'm, you know, if adrenaline is pumping through my body because I'm overstimulated uh-huh, and overstressed. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So your whole goal is, how do you get people from
fight or flight to right. rest and digest?
What would it be? Parasympathetic
parasympathetic is more rest and digest, and sympathetic state is fight or flight.
So when we're in rest and digest, we can be our full creative, mentally capable selves.
That's my theory. Okay. That's my theory. I do think there's this level of flow, which combines both the parasympathetic and sympathetic states of nervous system, because you want to be somewhat stimulated.
They say, right? I watched a whole podcast about nicotine mm-hmm. and why nicotine is such a good like neuromodulator.
Dude, I totally agree.
It was Andrew Huberman, and he was saying it gets you. It relaxes your body, your muscular. It's good for like doing mental work uh-huh. because it relaxes your like
physical state,
yeah. but it enhances your mind.
Your cognitive state, yeah. for sure. Yeah, I use it as I like nicotine as a cognitive pick me up, but it can be addictive. But yeah, it's like it induces almost that flow state. But going back to like cold plunging, I look at cold plunges as like your ability to put a chaotic environment in you, but a controlled chaotic environment. So you get yourself in the cold water, you're not ready for it. Guess what? You're not gonna die. So what you have to do is mentally override that hurdle. Even though your physiology is saying, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, you can override that thought with just your mind alone. Sit your ass in that fucking tub until it gets comfortable, and that's it. You don't tell yourself anything else. And that's a mental thing. You're basically teaching yourself to get calm in a chaotic state, right? There's chaos happening all around you, but obviously you are the one orchestrating it. It's not a life or death matter, unless like the water is really below a certain point to where it can really harm you. But if you have a, you know, 50 degrees Fahrenheit to 34 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, you should be good. And obviously, over time, you can build yourself up. You start at 50, maybe 55, and then push yourself to lower temperatures. But ultimately, what you're doing is you're teaching yourself to get calm in a chaotic environment. And if you can do that enough times, you inevitably train yourself to get calm when shit hits the fan, because life is hard and you get thrown curveballs all the time. If you can't keep yourself level-headed when there's a shitstorm happening, then how the hell are you going to do anything in life? Transitions are constantly happening. It's about how smoothly do we go from point A to point B to point C. This is another reason why I like flow training, because you're moving from one exercise to the next exercise to the next exercise to the next exercise with fluidity, not clunkiness. Does that make sense? Yes. And when life happens and keeps happening at you, and you got this next goal and this next goal and this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity, quickly things can get out of balance and incoherent or chaotic pretty quickly. If you don't have the tools and capabilities to take your brain state and say, hey, I need to get calm and present. And that's years and years and years of practice. That's meditation. That's fasting. That's journaling. That's getting into cold. That's getting into saunas, right? Training yourself to get calm when the going gets tough. And like I said, in this situation, the going gets tough would be just a bath, a cold bath at whatever degree positive or potential for you, or however cold you can withstand, right? And it doesn't have to be as exaggerated as a cold plunge. I like to shoot for 11 minutes a week in cold water, whether that's cold shower water or a cold plunge. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I would say like the cold plunge for 3 minutes a day would be the go-to if you can do that, probably the most effective. But if you don't have that, put yourself under cold water in your shower for 10 seconds at a time at the end of your shower. Get yourself all nice and warm, shower up, wash yourself up, whatever. But at the end, how long can you withstand the cold shower on you?
And so the idea is get in the cold and then try to calm your body's. Your body's going to have a natural
reaction to
stress response.
Yep.
You're going to start breathing heavy. You're going to freak out. Yep. You're going to want to get out right away. You want to calm yourself down as much as possible. Yep. Is that the goal?
Just override the thought of getting out and focus on big, deep breaths. And next thing you know, you're in a normal state, and that becomes a new normal.
So then doing that, you know,
regularly,
very, very regularly, that'll kind of desensitize your body and mind to chaos.
You're priming your brain to get calm under stress.
Okay.
And that's just it, right? You're priming yourself to get calm under stress. That's why we meditate, right? If you meditate, you're priming yourself to shift your awareness from going astray back to your breathing. You shift, you notice that there was a shift. Oh, okay, I'm not thinking about my breath anymore. You recognize it and then just bring it back. So you do that for 1 to 5 minutes in the morning. You are already priming yourself to eliminate distraction. You're getting yourself back on track to whatever the task is at hand. That's one form of meditation.
Okay.
Another form of meditation I think is also really productive is to just let your brain go wherever it goes and watch your thoughts as the observer. Non-judgmental, but just watch your thoughts. Where are they going? This is how you develop higher levels of self-awareness. You're just paying attention to where your mind goes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And doing this over time, you're just priming yourself to get clear on what's the most important to you right now. And that's how you get clear about like what your purpose is and what you want to do and how you want to expend your time, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, you can be doing nothing in a cave all day long. But like we live in a third dimension. Like there are things that we have to do for shelter and community and creatives or creations, right? There are things that have to be put to work in order for something tangible or physical or concrete in this third dimension to come to its fruition.
Right.
Right.
Unless you just want to be a monk and just.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either. No, you just get really clear and relax and calm and just sit and be and do nothing. To some people, that's enlightenment. I think that's great. But I'm not there right now. Right now, I feel like a lion hunting. You know, I got a young baby, I got a family, I got a business. Like, I want to learn what there is to learn about consciousness, life, endeavor, purpose, creations, community, business, relationships, and just keep on doing what I feel called towards. And I feel like that stuff comes up the more I practice these holistic rituals, meditation, fasting, cold, hot therapy, flow training, you know, strength training, journaling, conversation, you know, doing an endeavor that feels very, I guess, purposeful, self-actualizing.
So, like, your whole idea is the way to get out of constant fight or flight in this world is by purposely putting yourself in a position where you would induce fight or flight and then working yourself out of it. That type of theme.
Yeah.
Throughout doing that to yourself keeps you out of it in regular day-to-day life.
Think about what exercise is. You're putting your muscles against resistance, not too much, enough to where you can rest and regrow, right? But you can get to a certain point where you're pushing too fucking hard and now you're not allowing your body to recover as much. I like to look at Ronnie Coleman as a perfect example of someone that, from a nervous system standpoint, beat himself to the ground, and now he's having all sorts of neurodegenerative diseases. If you look up Ronnie Coleman, previous Mr. Olympia, 8-time Mr. Olympia, now having all sorts of, you know, neurodegenerative issues, spine issues, and then muscular issues, right? I think that's due to just like super heavy lifting for his entire career without enough like recoil, without enough yin to the yang.
How much of that too, I wonder, is drug abuse.
Like, he also was a cop too, so like high stress, like that type of stuff you also have to take into account on what that does to your biology, your physiology, your chemistry, your neurochemistry, like all that plays a role. So like, you know, yes, put yourself against stress and then give yourself a little bit of time to adapt. That is essentially what life comes down to. How much can you adhere to and how much do you need to recoil? How much can you push yourself towards? How much can you recoil? Today's day and age, it's always more and more and more is better.
Can you explain why? Like, what are the environmental factors in like modern Western society that make people just inherently stressed all the time?
Constant need to keep going. And like, I mean,
but what new technology and factors are in our environment that kind of push us there?
First of all, the Western world is highly demanding, and we're put into this from the beginning in school. We expect it a lot from us. And at some point it's good, right? We talk about resistance, right? But we get to a point, we get to college and it's like, or high school, it's like, we need this score. We need these grades. We need to be in AP classes. We need to get to a Big Five or Power Five conference. We need an Ivy League school. We need to get this high paying job. This keeping up with the Joneses is fucking high stress. That's highly demanding in this culture. Also, we know that these phones nowadays and these apps are built to addict us. They're built for keeping our faces in here for as long as possible. The likes, the views, the followers, everything like that. What's up, Aiden? How's it going? This is addicting, and it's engineered for us to be addicting. Watch out, there's just a camera there. Just give me 1 second. We're almost done, okay? It's built for that, and we're just learning how to coexist with these. This is very new in the existence of human beings, right?
So what about this? Sorry to interrupt you, but what about this causes stress?
The blue light, the Wi-Fi, the 5G, that's all like electromagnetic stress on our system that plays a huge role in how our chemicals are being delivered throughout the system, right, our endocrine system, and then the screen, the blue light, then all the apps, the unlimited scrolling, whatever information you're looking for, the buying, the porn, the gambling, the food, the eye candy, it's all here in the click of a button. And if you don't have the ability to discern what or how much you actually want to use it and then put it down, you can't. It's like, I'm an adult and I understand what it's doing to me, and I still engage. The second I wake up, if it's scrolling, commenting, posting, how much did this get likes? How much did that get likes? Oh, I should probably quit. I should probably not do this anymore. That type of stuff, that's hard. That's addicting.
Like, it's so demanding of your attention.
Very demanding. And I'm a health professional that takes a lot of time to work on my health, my mind, my body, my spirit, and it still kicks my ass. And I still have to force myself to not look at this. This is like why one of my messages to when I talk to my kids, on top of getting like a good, you know, good sleep, quality nutrients. What's up, Ryan? Sean Ryan, good to see you, boy. Give me 1 second here. Just don't step in front of the camera. So like I talked to them about getting good sleep, getting good nutrition, getting good water into their system, making sure that they're managing their schoolwork. And another one is limit your damn screen time, because it's taking you slowly. It's taking you away slowly. And it's dangerous. But it could be used as a really effective tool when utilized efficiently. But it takes a toll of us, especially a young kid. They don't know. They just know it is. It's my phone. I got games. But it's manipulating the way you think. And that's dangerous. And we don't know the extent of that yet. But we should be talking about it. Should we drop the mic right there?
I think so.
Love you, Jake.
Dude.
Guys, this is Jake Fine. He does video for UFC fighter Aljamain Sterling. He does. He don't you live with him?